Thank you for that introduction, and good morning, everybody. I am a master's student at Clemson University under Dr. Michael Plumley, and today I'm going to be talking about one of the research projects we've been working on, which is evaluating various soil moisture sensor thresholds in cotton in South Carolina. So the outline for this presentation today, I'm going to talk you through a little bit of introduction, a little bit kind of the cotton and irrigation that goes on in South Carolina. I'm going to talk about the objectives we had for this project. I'm going to walk you through the materials and methods we used to conduct this project. Then I'm going to talk you some of the results we saw, and then wrap it up with a conclusion. So cotton's grown across the entire United States, California to Virginia, and is a very economic crop all across the country, and it's no different in South Carolina. In 2018, cotton in South Carolina contributed to $157 million to the economy on approximately 275,000 harvested acres. Switching over to the irrigation side, in 2012, South Carolina had approximately 10% of all of its cropland irrigated, and this was all crops included, which was only around 159,000 acres. It is very commodity-specific, like your horticultural crops, et cetera. It is also based on high-value crops, which have the large percentage of irrigated acres, like your corn and your cotton. Now, this is relatively low as compared, as you can see, Georgia and Mississippi. Granted, the states are a lot bigger than what South Carolina are. I mean, our total cropland acreage in South Carolina is the same as Mississippi's irrigated acreage. Even though it is a big state, this percentage of irrigated acres that we have is still low as compared to Georgia and Mississippi. We do expect that this number has increased since 2012. There's been an ongoing water irrigation survey as it was conducted in 2018 and 2019. There is an estimated 3% increase in irrigated acreage in South Carolina. And then water applied for irrigation has increased in the southeastern United States more than the last 10 years in any other region of the United States. So growers are, you know, putting irrigation systems on their farms to better help grow their crops. So the majority of the row crops in South Carolina are grown in the coastal plain. It's irrigation water that comes from a network of underground aquifers. Underneath the coastal plain, there's about six major aquifers that irrigation water is being used to water the row crops. Irrigation is the second greatest user of groundwater in South Carolina. Now, on November 8, 2018, the Department of Health and Environmental Control placed the Western Capacity Use Area on seven counties in South Carolina. This isn't water regulation, but they are. You have to get a permit to, you know, put in wells. They're trying to distribute the amount of wells in an area, and then they're trying to make sure you're not pulling all water from the same aquifer. They want to spread it out, make sure we're not depleting the aquifers that we have. And since the Western Capacity Use Area was put in, there's a need for sensor thresholds by crop to be proactive on any future water regulations that are to come. Like I said, there's no water regulations now, but we do see this as an initial step for future water regulation. So cotton water use, a lot of people, you think about cotton, and think about cotton as a drought-tolerant crop. Whereas in reality, cotton needs water just like all the other row crops that we grow. This curve right here just kind of shows, you know, up to pre-bloom in cotton, it's a very low demand of water. Whereas once you get around pre-bloom up to full bloom, that's when cotton's using its most water. And then it starts to decline as the bolls begin to open. So some of the previous research has been conducted where they found that soil moisture sensors are a tool that can be used to repeatedly schedule irrigation in cotton. Plumley et al., they found that there was no advantage to scheduling irrigation with soil moisture sensors based on a dynamic schedule in cotton in the Mid-South. So they tried doing it by growth stage throughout the growing season, and they found there was no benefit in doing that. They were able to maximize profit and yield by maintaining a constant rate throughout the growing season. And then you might ask, well, why do you want to irrigate? What's the benefit of irrigating? Well, it's estimated, Salem et al. Estimates that the yield potential can be reduced between 54 and 82% among various crops due to drought stress. So Data et al., they did a project on optimizing irrigation management, and two of their objectives was to reduce over-irrigating and prevent under-irrigation. So you want to reduce over-irrigating because it's going to cause water and nutrient waste. It's going to create a microclimate for pests and diseases. Pests and diseases, they thrive in cool, moist, wet areas. You just want to prevent that. Yeah, it's going to cause increase in energy costs if you're over-irrigating. And it's going to reduce the lifespan of your irrigating infrastructure. You're going to put wear and tear on your equipment. And in the end, it's going to cost you more money. And then their second objective was to prevent under-irrigation. Obviously, it's going to reduce crop yield if you're not putting the right amount of water that the plant needs to grow. So when irrigating, you need to have a set up irrigation schedule. And some of the benefits of having one are to meet crop water demand with supplemental irrigation at appropriate timing, reduce the likelihood of plant stress, reduce overwatering, then the two that everybody loves, maximize yield and maximize net return. These are very important. Like I said, if you're able to put in an appropriate irrigation schedule, these are some of the benefits you will see. So when you talk about scheduling irrigation, you need to, you know, there's several different methods, and the ones we went with, soil moisture sensor. Well, in 2012, a South Carolina census showed that out of 1,046 farms surveyed, only 6% used a soil moisture sensing device to decide when to irrigate. Now our goal is to try to bump this number up. We want irrigation scheduling method that is repeatable and scientific, so we know that we're maximizing, optimizing our best advantage when irrigating. So when you talk about soil moisture sensors, like I said, it's a type of irrigation scheduling. These are some of the benefits we see from using soil moisture sensors. Real-time site-specific monitoring of soil moisture helps to determine water-sensitive periods throughout the growing season, and it quantifies the amount of rainfall that enters the soil and then in the rooting zone. I like the last bullet. I mean, obviously, if you're using like a checkbook method, you really don't know how much water or how far that water has gone into your rooting depth. I mean, with the soil moisture sensors you have in place, 6, 12, 24 inches, you know exactly which sensor is reading what, and you know where your soil moisture is. So the objectives of this project was to determine a soil moisture sensor threshold in cotton that maximizes net returns above irrigation costs and maximizes irrigation water use efficiency. And then secondly, to determine if soil moisture threshold values affect rooting depth of cotton grown in a wagram loamy sand. So 2018-2019 couldn't have been any different in South Carolina for us. From May to October in 2018, we received 33 inches of rain. And in 2019, we received 18 inches of rain. Now, our average for this period from May to October is around 25. So you can see it was very different in years. But this research was conducted in Blackwell, South Carolina at the Edisto Research and Education Center on a wagram loamy sand, which is greater than 85% sand content. And that's a lot of sand, but that's what our area has. I mean, that's just what the farmers are dealing with, and that's what we want to base our thresholds off of, what they're dealing with and what can help them the most. And then we use an overhead irrigation lateral remove system. Now, we did add on and off valves on the drops so that we could only irrigate certain plots that were triggered by threshold. We used 32-row plots, so whenever we would go out there and turn the valves on and off for each plot, we had enough room and we weren't affecting our 4-row middles. It was 96-row spacing, 60-meter plot length, 4 replications, and a randomized complete block design. So this is the aerial imagery of the plot in 2018 in July. I just want to show you this is the layout, kind of what we had. And even with the wet year that we had, you can kind of see the 15 and the 30. You can see a little more vegetative growth in those as compared to the 60 kilopascals and the non-irrigated. So we did use a Watermark 200 SS soil moisture sensor. We placed them at 15, 30, and 60 centimeters in depth. The sensors were installed by treatment And we checked the sensors Monday, Wednesday, Friday of each week. Then we based our irrigation off if the thresholds were met or not. So this right here is just a chart the aerometer has. Basically, this is kind of how the industry chooses their thresholds. You can kind of see at field capacity, negative 10, negative 30 kilopascals, and then up to negative 60 kilopascals. This is kind of how we kind of got an idea of kind of where our thresholds need to be. And that's just, like I said, that's how we kind of chose, came up with our thresholds. Now, our treatments were non-irrigated, negative 15 kilopascals, which was 25% maximum allowable depletion, 30 kilopascals at 50% of maximum allowable depletion, and 60 kilopascals, which was 75% maximum allowable depletion. And you can notice all these fall between field capacity and permanent wilting point, which is plant available water. And these sensor thresholds were maintained season long. We didn't change it up by growth stage. We just had a constant threshold throughout the year. Data collected was height, node above crack bowl, water use, lint yield, and fiber quality. We did pull root cores for our second objective. We pulled it five leaf and full bloom at 0 to 76 centimeters in depth and sampled with row and row metals. For the sake of this presentation and time, I do not have the data for this, but if you have any questions, I can talk to you after. These data were subjected to ANOVA using the product Glimix. Means were separated using multiple pairwise t-tests at alpha 0.05 using SAS version 9.4. So jumping into the results, on the y-axis you can see it's lint yield in kilograms per hectare, and on the x-axis you have our treatments, non-irrigated, 15 and 30, and 60 kilopascals. Now this is the data for 2018. And if you remember, I said we had 33 inches of rain from May to October. We saw no significant differences between treatments. Whereas in 2019, you still have lint yield on the y-axis and treatment on the x-axis. You can see our most aggressive threshold, 15 kilopascals, brought in the largest lint yield per kilogram, followed by 30 and 60. This was kind of expected, what we thought. Like I said, it was good that the data backed this up. Now looking at irrigation water use efficiency and net returns, on the y-axis you have irrigation water use efficiency, kilograms of lint by centimeters of water of hectare. And then we have net returns above irrigation cost, which is dollar per hectare. Now this chart was based on 70-cent cotton. And you can see our greatest profit in the top right corner is where you want to be. And you can see the negative 30 kilopascals was up there in that corner. So it, like I said, it brought us our greatest profit. Whereas with the 15 kilopascals, you know, yes, it did have the highest lint yield, but it cost us more money in order to irrigate that. So in conclusion, Watermark 200 SS soil moisture sensors appear to be an appropriate schedule tool in South Carolina coastal plain. We found that there was no difference in sensor thresholds in terms of lint yield in 2018, which was a very wet year. However, in 2019, which was a dry year, 15 kilopascals provided the greatest lint yield. Our research suggests that a full season sensor threshold of 30 kilopascals could maximize grower profit in cotton in South Carolina. Future research to continue and evaluate sensor thresholds in cotton across common soil textures in South Carolina, evaluate sensor placement and sensor depths, and evaluate dynamic irrigation schedule in cotton using soil moisture sensors. These are my references. I'd like to acknowledge the South Carolina Water Research Center, my committee members, student workers helped collect this data, and the farm crew at Edisto Rec. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes, sir.
Water, did you apply those levels in 19?
In 19, for the 15 kilopascals, he asked how much water do we apply for 2019? I don't know the exact number, but I do know for the 15, which was the most aggressive, we did irrigate it 9 different times.
How much was it total?
Like at each time?
Well, the total for during growing season.
Well, we applied about 1 inch per one, so about 9 inches.
All right.